Another week, another fine first novel is published. At least that's the way this year has felt so far to our book critic Maureen Corrigan. Here's her review of Arthur Phillips' new novel, Prague.
Halfway through 2002, the verdict is already in. This is the year of the great first novel. The Lovely Bones by Alice Sebold, Everything is Illuminated by Jonathan Safran Foer, The Dive from Clawson's Pier by Ann Packer, they're all stunners, written by folks young enough to be Philip Roth's great-grandchildren. In such an exceptional literary season, critics like me get awfully picky. Judging any new novel, I feel like the legendary Dick Button issuing verdicts on Olympic figure skaters. A clumsy gesture here and there, too much obvious sweat gleaming off the page, or a wobbly finish demotes a hopeful contestant from the gold to the shadowy realm of the silver or bronze. That's where Arthur Phillips' new, much-heralded first novel, Prague, lands in my estimation. In an ordinary year, Phillips might have gotten his face on a Wheaties box, but the competition right now is as cutthroat as Tonya Harding with an iron bar and a willing accomplice nearby. Prague tracks the fortunes of five young American expatriates who travel to Budapest in the early 1990s to find adventure, money, love, and themselves. Hold on, you geography experts might be saying. Why is the book called Prague when it takes place in Hungary? The answer is that this novel is an exquisite specimen of the irony age. Almost every character here is self-mocking, self-divided, and conscious of living a lesser life filled with substitutes, whether they be lovers or careers or cities. Prague, which is a more beautiful and booming city than Budapest, is a metaphor of dreams deferred, like Moscow is for Chekhov's Three Sisters. It's where the characters would rather be. For instance, in an emblematic conversation, one ambitious young woman excitedly tells a friend about a guy from home who's living in Prague now. He's trying to start a business making frozen desserts shaped like Proust and Freud, and they're called Findesicles. Almost every page of this novel is filled with clever riffs like that one. Indeed, the opening scene, in which the characters play a nasty game called Sincerity, introduces Prague's signature tone of brittle humor. Seated around the cafe table on a late afternoon are the five principals: Charles Gabor, a would-be entrepreneur; Emily Oliver, a diplomatic flunky whose Midwestern niceness is either a vestigial trait left over from a vanished America or a brilliant espionage cover; and Mark Payton, a graduate student working on a dissertation about the history of nostalgia, appropriate since he longs for any time other than his own. Also playing are John Price, a fledgling journalist and the only employee at his newspaper not writing a screenplay during working hours, and his older brother Scott, a former English major who now teaches at an English language school. Because like almost every other English major, he discovers his degree is only valuable proportionally to how far he wanders from home. What happens to these lost generation Xers is far less interesting than how Phillips describes it happening. And there you have the strength and the weakness of Prague the novel. Stylistically, Prague is a delight. Entertaining and often insightful comments on relationships, cuisine, architecture, sexuality, and the fall of communism abound. But the narrative exhausts itself about halfway through. Phillips establishes his dramatic situations and then lets them slump. It almost feels as though storytelling itself is too earnest an endeavor for this relentlessly ironic novel. A novel, after all, that's even distanced from its own title. Maybe, in the end, the most intriguing thing about Prague and the other first novels I mentioned earlier is that they're bold in scope, spreading out over time and space. Nearly 20 years ago, Tom Wolfe wrote a famous essay for The Atlantic Monthly in which he contrasted his then-new Dickensian novel, The Bonfire of the Vanities, to the constricted and introspective fiction that had dominated post-World War II American literature. This new young crop of American fiction writers seems to be infected with Wolfe's ambition, sidestepping small stories and instead attempting sweeping tales of grand cities and great expectations.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Prague by Arthur Phillips.